Has the weekend gone very fast to you also?
Yes.
Can you believe it's already Monday? Wow. It seemed like I just got here, and this has just been, once again, just so great, and y'all will forever be in my heart. And now that I even have a little devil to take home with me, yes. Every time I my boss is here, and so, boss, what am we doing? That's it, and then we're home and back working again. And so y'all have spoiled us here. We don't want to leave now, I'm telling you. And let me tell you the thing I love, one of the things I love the best is the Weetabix. Is that what they're called? Weetabix bites, yes. I love those little things. In fact, we're going to have Sarah send us a case, we're hoping. So we'll every 6 months, yes, I like that. You hear that, John? Yes. Yeah. We're going to be like that little kid here who said he ate. How many did he eat? 16 to 20 of those. Well, well, y'all, once again, it's just been so great being here with you. And I'm already looking forward to coming back one day. I really honestly mean that. Y'all have just been awesome. Now, as we conclude here today, I know we only have around a half hour, and so this is going to be the second I really want to share with you. It's taken from one of my favorite Bible texts, and that's Mark chapter 10, verse 27. And you've heard the story of the rich young ruler, but at the very end of that story, you know, you hear the disciples say, well, who can be saved? But then Mark 10, 27 says, with God all things are possible. And I just hope that you really have gotten that through my messages this week, is that there is nothing impossible for our God, nothing. There's no situation so high that he can't give you the strength to be able to climb it, nothing so low he can't give you the strength to go under it, and there's nothing so twisted that he can't unstraighten it. I really believe that with my whole heart and my whole soul. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, once again, we thank you for just being such a good God. And Lord, I just pray that everyone realizes that they have a story, dear Lord. When they think and reflect on their own lives, may they understand and may they see that you have been with them the entire time. And your scripture that says that you would never leave us or forsake us is exactly true. And so I just pray that my friends will be able to really think of their lives and think of their stories and to realize that you are still alive and you're still working. In your name we pray, amen. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to meet a very famous American pastor, and his name was Bill Hybels. And Bill Hybels is known for a very large church in America called Willow Creek. And I had the chance to sit down with him and to meet with him and talk with him, and it was just a fantastic experience. Now, Pastor Hybels shared a story that I will never forget, and I would just like to share some of that story with you here today. Now, Pastor Hybels' church there in the United States, it has 20,000 members. It's a very large church. It used to be one of our largest, but now there's a couple more churches larger than that. But Pastor Hybels, his secret is, he tells everyone, is that he takes 8 weeks off during what we call our summertime months, and he writes out an outline for his sermons for the entire year. So he goes, he has a little tiny little cottage by a little beach area. He loves to use sailboats. That's his favorite thing, is to get on his little tiny little sailboat. And he'll spend 8 weeks. His family comes down on the weekends. And during the week, he writes out his entire messages, everything. He gets the outline all set for the entire year. And that's why it's so long, an eight-week break. Now, while he's there, he decided many years ago that for those 8 weeks, he wanted to attend a church. And so in this little village where his boat was at and where he would go to, there were a few churches. And then one day he said he was walking and he heard this music. And so he goes in there, and it's an African-American or a black American church. And Pastor Hybels is white. And it's an old-time black church. And Hybels said, you know what? I'm going to join this church. And so this little church that has maybe 25 members, to this day, they don't know that one of their members who only comes 8 weeks, they know him, they just simply know him as Bill. They don't even know that he is the pastor of one of the largest churches of America. But he just comes there and he collects offering when he's there. He helps out and everything. And he says that's just his little home church. And so a few years ago, he was there, he said, at my little church, and they had a guest speaker. And he said, I was just hoping the speaker would be just very fast and get out of there because the weather was so good, I wanted to get on my sailboat. And so he said they brought the speaker in. He says, to his amazement, that the speaker was around 90 years old. And then he asked someone, he says, is he a good speaker? He's a good speaker, but, you know, he preaches around 2 hours. He said, 2 hours? I said, yeah, he's known for his long preaching. And he says, well, Lord, I just have to just sit here and maybe you just have to make this. He says, Lord, you know it's been raining all week, and this will be my last time to go sailing. Oh, but Lord, I'll just be here. So he sat there through the service, and then the preacher got up, and he says, well, Lord, at least let it be a sermon I've never heard, a powerful sermon that will inspire me. He said, well, the guy got up, and he says, what we're going to talk about is a prodigal son. He says, oh, no, I just did a series on the prodigal son. Oh, he says, I'll be honest. He says, I was just very just, oh, and that was just wasn't a good day for me. Well, he said he got up, and this 90-year-old started preaching. And Pastor Hybels says it was something like he had never heard before. He said this guy preached like he was in his teens. He was just on fire for the Lord. And then at the very end of the sermon, in the story of the prodigal son, he said, there was I did this big fancy series. I called some of the most best theologians around the country, and no one pointed this out to me. I didn't even see it. He says, at the very end of the story of the prodigal son, it says, go and do. He says, that old preacher got up there at the end of his sermon. He says, now you've heard me tell you this story. I want you to go and do. And then before he knew it, he says, this preacher started singing it. Go and do, go and do, go and do. He says, the whole church started standing up. Go and do, go and do. He says, before he knew it, he stood up. Go and do, go and do. And he says, the preacher just walked out and they all marched behind him, and that's how they ended the sermon. He says, I've heard the prodigal son all my life, but I never thought about it, that Jesus ends the parable by telling us to go and do likewise, to go out there and to do something for Jesus. He says, well, I went to my sailboat. And he says, my sailboat is docked. It's this little area, and then there's little houses you could see. And it's one house. It's a large house, and he says it's a nursing home. And I don't know if you call them nursing home here, but a kind of retirement home. And he said that he noticed that every Sunday when he would come back, get ready to go sailing, after the ladies in the house would all get dressed up, and they would come outside. And people would pick them up, their family members. They must would take them to lunch or different things like that. And he had been seeing it for years, always. You know, they get dressed up, and he used to love to look at some of their hats and different things as they would come out the house. Well, while he was untying his boat, as always, he looked up and he saw the ladies leaving. And then he noticed something. That there was this one lady that was dressed better than everyone else. She had the sharpest outfit on. She had matching gloves, the whole works. And so Pastor Hybels noticed that she, you know, was with the rest of the ladies, and their people came and picked him up. And then it dawned on him that this lady would always be the last one there. And so as he's tying his boat and he's getting ready to go, he's thinking, what's going on? I've seen her for years do that. He says, well, let me just stay here and see what happens. Well, he watched every single person get picked up. And this lady's there chatting with everybody. And then after everyone has been picked up, she would look around and then run back into the house. He discovered that she had no family, that she would dress up like she was going out. So everyone thought someone was picking her up, but she really had no one. He says, as I was about to just say, oh, that's so sad. He says, I was about to undo my sailboat. All of a sudden, I heard a voice in my head. It was a voice of a 90-year-old preacher. Go and do. Go and do. He said, Lord, I don't want to hear that right now. I want to go sailing. Go and do. Go and do. He says, I couldn't shake that voice out of my head. He says, all right, Lord, you win. Ties his boat back up. He goes over, knocks on the door, and people come out. And he says, he described the lady. He says, I've seen it for years. And so the lady comes down, says, can I help you? He says, well, ma'am, I don't know, but can I take you out for lunch? And she said, he said she looked at him like he was crazy. I don't know you. He says, well, I'm a preacher, and here's my card, and you can, you know, see that I'm not crazy or anything, but I just really feel inclined to just come and take you out for lunch. And she got a great big smile on her face, says, okay. And so Pastor Hybels took this lady out for lunch. And to make a long story short, that for the next 8 years, that lady became like his mother. He would ride her, and every time he would go there, every Sunday he would pick her up, and they became just, he says, just like a mother to him. He says, it was so amazing is that I was even able to bring her to my house and meet my family, and it was just unbelievable the relationship that we had. He said, it was all because I listened to that voice that said, go and do. Go and do. And so that's my challenge for us here today. You've heard my experiences. You've heard my stories. But the good news is that God has experiences and stories that you have to live. I'm just an example of one of hundreds and thousands of different stories and experiences that each of you here, the Lord wants you to have a story. He wants you to be able to have a testimony. He wants you to be able to be in a position one day to share his goodness. And so that's my challenge once again for you, is take my stories and realize that it's simply an example of the stories that the Lord has in store for you. And so that's why I challenge you to go and do. Go and do. There's a hurting world around us. There are neighbors right next door to you that are just going through things that you would never imagine. And all it takes is for some of you to do nothing but to make a pie or a cake and to walk it next door. And you'll be surprised of what the Lord is going to have you go and do. In fact, one of the things that WGTS that we've started is a prayer line where people can either send their prayer request in by email, or they can call it in. And we're just surprised at the amount of people who respond. There are times where we get over 500 prayer requests a week. And people simply sin. They've been hurt and they want. And I just think of those people and how they're just longing for someone to just to do something nice for them. That for them, the face of Christianity has not been a good face. Each of those people have a story of how they've been hurt by church or church members. The list goes on and on. But I think how we just simply give them a nice, kind word, and they just get so happy about that. And that just lets me know that all of us can do the exact same thing. And so I want you to really have a special specialness in your heart here today of saying, Lord, I want to be able to at least share a story with somebody, a neighbor, a friend, a coworker. Just imagine if even half of us in this room were to make a connection with someone. And then those people make a connection with someone. And then those make, I mean, it could just go on and on. And that's how the gospel grew. And so I don't think I've been here by accident this week. I think the Lord has brought me here for a purpose and for a reason that some of you are going to leave here and you are going to go and you're going to do. Well, we're going to have a special music at this time. And I want you to once again listen to these words. And as we conclude, I just really want you to just be prepared of a little something special that I'm going to share with you at the conclusion of this song.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never, 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 never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Well, it soothes all my doubts, it calms all my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose. It will never lose. Oh, and it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose. It will never, never, never lose. It will never lose its power.
Wow. Well, once again, I think I'm going to trade mics with you. And these poor mics, they've done good all weekend long. They're just tired. They're ready to take their rest. Well, I just want you to know once again that this has just been a fantastic time. And someone asked if I would share one more thing. I will do that very quickly. I will never forget, I had the chance to speak at a large convention once in Sacramento, California. And while I was there speaking, everything went great and different things, but I remember afterwards, a gentleman came up to me, and he stood out because he had a chauffeur's outfit on, like he drove a limousine. He had a little hat, little knickers. It was just amazing. We're all looking in shock, and the guy comes right up to me, and he simply says, "Sir, the lady I work for would love to meet you, and she wants to have a special lunch with you tomorrow. Can you do that?" And I remember I looked at him. I said, who are you?" He says, "Well, I'm the limousine driver." And I said, "Will I get to ride in the limousine?" He says, "Oh, yes, yes, I'll pick you up." And so I said, "All right, I'll do it." And so that next day, I'm there at this hotel, and the fanciest limousine I have ever seen, a Rolls Royce limousine, pulls in. The guy jumps out of the car. He runs over. He opens up my door. All of a sudden, people started taking pictures of me. Click, 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 click. They didn't know who I was. And I got in. I was waving as I drove off. I always feel bad about that. And well, we go up, and we go on this road and different things, and we get to this house, and the house was on a hill. And now, working in Washington, D.C., and especially my White House days, I have seen homes that will blow your mind. These are some of the biggest donors to the president and different things. But this had to be a house that topped all those homes. In fact, they even had a guard gate where a full-time person's job was to simply get out and to open the door by hand to let every car come in, and then that person would close it again. So we drive up the long driveway. The guy gets out the car. He lets me out. And then he says something. He says, "Well, she really wants to meet you so bad because she says that both of you have something in common. She can just so relate to your story." Now, I'm looking around and thinking, anyone who has a limousine, has a house like this, She must be completely mixed up. There's nothing we can have in common. Well, he tells me to go up to the door, and I go to the door, and just as you imagine, a butler answers the door. He says, madam, she's in here with her friends. They're waiting for you. So I go in there, and there is probably around 10 of the sweetest old ladies you've ever seen in your life. They are so cute. They're just there. And one of the lady gets up, and she comes up to me and just gives me a great big hug and says, oh, I can so relate to your story. I am so glad you came. And once again, I'm thinking to myself, what in the world would we have in common? Well, we sat there, and she had me share some of my experiences to her friends. And then she says, well, I want to share with you my experience. She says, I have 4 kids, 2 boys and 2 girls, that my husband and I were married for over 45 years, and then he died of a heart attack when I was in my 60s, late 60s, mid-60s. She says, then I fell, and I had broken a hip, and so they placed me in a retirement home. My kids did. And I was in what we call a rehabilitation place where you can get better for your hip. And she says, I was in that place for a year. I finally got to the point I could walk again, and everything was fine. I was just so excited to be able to go back to my house. And she says, my husband and I, we're just average people. She says, we barely made it, barely made enough money for our kids. And my house was a little tiny house. It's not what you see here now. It's a little tiny house, and that's what I raised all my kids in. Well, I discovered that my kids had had me sign a piece of paper. In the States, we call it a power of attorney, where you turn everything over to someone to look after. She says, my kids had sold my house, all of my possessions, and they had placed me in a retirement home. She says, when I signed the paper, I didn't know what I was signing. She says, they just simply placed me in a retirement home. She says, Pastor, for 5 years, not one single person came to visit me. Not one single kid. She says, I became very bitter, very angry with God. Why would God do this to me? I've always tried to be faithful. I've tried to raise my kids right. Why would he allow this to happen to me? She says, I got to the point then where I didn't even want to hear the word God or anything. I was so bitter. She says, well, one day the nursing home, they hired this new lady who would come in and she would clean our rooms for us. And she said, that lady reminds me so much of you, the great big black lady. I'll never forget how she said that. She said, she would come in my room and straighten things out, and I would say, get out of my room. And she would just not even listen to me, and she would just, oh, it's a good day outside. And I would always keep my curtains closed, and she would walk over and open up my curtains. And I would say, close those curtains. And she wouldn't even listen to me. She said, oh, ma'am, you need some fresh air in here. And she would open that window up, close that window. And she wouldn't even listen. She said, she would come in day after day, and she was always so happy. And the more happy she was, the madder I would get. I called the place to try to get her fired. I called the supervisor. Everything I could do. Even though that lady knew that I was calling, complaining on her, she will come in there just as happy as she could be. She says, well, after around a year of this, she says, this lady came in, it was around Christmas time, and she said, Miss Lily, what did you used to like to do? You just sit here, everybody in the nursing home just says how mean you are to everybody, you're always so unhappy. Didn't you like to do something before you came here? What hobby did you have? She says, I've never had a hobby. She says, come on, Miss Lily, there is something that you could. And she says, finally, I told her, well, years ago, I used to paint. Now, get out of my room. She says, okay. Well, the next day, she said, that lady came back with a little tiny watercolor painting set and said, Miss Lily, would you paint me something for Christmas? She says, no, I haven't painted in years. Just get out of here. says, Miss Lily, just paint me one thing. And then she says, I said to that lady, if I paint you something, would that mean you would never come back here again? She says, I won't say that, Miss Lily, but just paint me something. She says, oh, I haven't painted in years. Get out of here. And so Lily left. And for the rest of the week, that little watercolor set was there. And Lily decided that she would paint a flower. And she hadn't painted, she said, almost 20 years. And even then, it was just for little kids. It wasn't even anything fancy. So she painted this pretty little flower. And so when the nurse came back in, she gave it to the nurse, says, now get out of here. And the nurse looked at it and said, this is beautiful. Well, what Lily didn't know is that that nurse had gone down the hall and made friends with another lady who used to write poetry. And she took Lily's little flower, watercolor flower, and took the poetry and made it into a greeting card. And Lily says, I don't know what happened, but people started requesting our greeting cards all over. She says, I would just paint another flower type thing, and someone else would come back, and they would want another one and another one. She says, it got to the point that we couldn't keep up. We were doing so many of these. And she said, for the first time in years, I was starting to get happy just painting these things. Well, she says, after another year of painting these, and she says, sometimes they would go through almost, she said, 20 a week sometimes they would go through. Well, after a year of doing these cards, and she said, that lady and her became good friends, and things are really changing, a gentleman walked into her room and said, do you have a lawyer? And she says, no, why would I need a lawyer? He said, well, before I talk to you, you probably should get a lawyer. And so she told the nurse about it. And the nurse says, well, my son's a lawyer. And so her son came in and they sat down with this gentleman. And the gentleman simply said this. I'm from a company called Hallmark. And in the United States, Hallmark is the largest card selling company probably in the world. And he says, I'm here to offer you a certain amount of money if you will let us buy every card that you have made, the rights for it, and then if you promise to produce for us 20 a year. And he says, when he pulled out that check, she almost had a heart attack. It was more money than she said her and her husband had probably made their entire lives together. And she says, I don't like to say how much it was, but I will tell you this, that I became a millionaire at age 72. Says, the first thing I did was I got out of that nursing home and I bought the biggest house I could find. She says, I moved my friends in with me. And the cards are still around. They're called In Touch. They have pretty watercolor flowers on them. You probably can see them. I've seen them all. I've seen them all over the world. Well, Miss Lily has passed away since then. That's been a few years ago. But she went on to fund mission projects and things around the world. She had given out so much money. She had given more money than she had been given originally. She had given out that much more. Because the Lord just kept blessing it, that they would put it in a small amount in some type of investment, and that would make more money. She would give more money away. But she says, Terry, that's why I can relate to you so much, is that I know what it feels like to be, well, it just feel like you have no hope sometimes. And I never thought that the Lord would ever use me. And so once again, friends, this is why I believe that nothing is impossible with God, nothing. That there are some of you here, you may feel like you're even at the end of your rope. You don't understand what's happening. And friends, if the Lord could bless Lily at 72 to be able to be one of the biggest mission givers, just imagine what he can do with your situation. So just don't give up. Just remember that the Lord uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things for him. Now, I have a little fella here. Come on up. He's been wanting to sing a song. Ellie, let's have him up here. And he has just said, come on up here. I got to bring him up here. He's been so good. This little fella has come up to me and said, you know what? I've gone through some rough times. Rough times too. But hearing you has just been such a blessing. And he says, even when in the rough times, I wrote a song. And I said, wrote a song? He says, I wrote a song. And so I said, well, why don't you see Ellie and maybe you can put some music to your song. And so I don't know what they did, but what's your name?
Josiah.
Josiah, now where are you from?
I'm from Queensland.
All right. Now, what's the name of your song that the Lord gave you?
Hey, hey, be my father today.
All right. Well, let's hear this song. This is your first time ever singing in public?
Yes. Hey, hey, be my father today. Hey, hey, be my father today. Walk in my shadow, talk to me. Say, hey, hey, I'm your father today. While I'm feeling blue and you're walking in my shadow, I'd like you to remind me that I'm being transformed in your image. Hey, hey, be my father today.
Well, little fella, I want you to keep writing songs for Jesus. Will you do that for me? You'll keep writing, you'll keep singing? All right. Y'all, we're going to all go to a concert one day, and this guy's going to be like, we're going to say, hey, we were here when he first wrote his very first song. Well, God bless you, and just thank you again so much, Josiah. God bless you. Let's give him another round of applause. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. And let's try to do something special. And what I want us to do is see if you can join the hand of the person next to you. And let's just stretch hands across here. And let's just cross it across the aisles if we could. Dear Lord, we come to you as your children. And Lord, you want good for your children, dear Lord. And we know the enemy has worked very hard to try to get us to get distracted off of that fact that we're your children. And you've said, Lord, in Matthew, that if an earthly father knows how to do good for their children, how much more will the heavenly Father know what's good for us? And so, Lord, I just pray in a special way now that you will just help us to reconnect with you and to realize that you know what's good for us and that you have many blessings in store for us. And yes, we will have some rough times and we will have some sandpaper experiences. But Lord, help us not to give up. That I know that there are many of us who are so close to the blessings you have for us. And we know that the enemy tries even harder when he knows that we're about to receive a blessing to discourage us. And so we rebuke the devil here today in your name through your blood, dear Jesus. And I just ask blessings upon everyone that's here. There are some here, Lord, that are praying for loved ones who have come up to me and have just said that this looks hopeless to them. But Lord, may they look at me as an example that nothing is hopeless, dear Lord, that you can even touch a heart of a loved one that they'll never imagine. And Lord, we talked about the prayers that have gone up for all of us, whether they're through a mother, our grandmother, our neighbor, or someone at the church, dear Lord, that even if we're 90 years old, some of us are still living off those blessings of those prayers that went up for us many years ago. And so we just ask in a special way that we will just be an honor and a glory to you, dear Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray a special prayer that as we leave here, we will never leave your presence, dear God, that you will forever be with us and that we'll be able to meet again in that kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, I need y'all to do me a favor. If I never see you again, when we get to heaven, our very first free Sabbath that we're going to have, let's meet at the North Gate. Can we do that? And the thing is, we're going to have perfect memories then, so you're going to remember this. You don't even have to worry about remembering it. You're going to remember it instantly. And so let's just meet at the North Gate. That'll be our little Tasmanian little group. And we'll get there, and we'll just sing a song together up there in glory. And you know what? I want every one of you to be here. And I want some of you to bring people with you. You're going to bring your daughters and your grandchildren, and you're going to bring some neighbors with you. And it's going to all be a result of the connection that we made this weekend. And so just remember that, the North Gate, the first free Sabbath we get. I'll see you up there if I don't see you back down here. God bless you.